Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Coburg author and publisher Jennifer Bogart. So, Jennifer, you moved to Coburg fairly recently. Why did you decide to settle here?
Actually, I was raised here for the most part of my life. I moved to Coburg when I was about 9 and went to Camborne Public School and then Dale Road and then what used to be the West High School.
Uh-huh.
So moving here was more like coming home.
So can you tell us about what you're writing or planning to write at the moment?
Right now, I am working on the third book of the Liminal series. So I have the first two published, and the third one is been very slow in coming. I'm also working on a choose-your-own-adventure for adults as opposed to children, and it's a lot more complicated than I thought it would be, but it's a lot of fun, so hoping to get that completed this year, too.
Good. You self-published your first books. What did you like about self-publishing, and what are the disadvantages to it?
Well, like all people who self-publish, I think the control over content was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to choose my editor. I was able to have input on the cover design and how the books looked and felt at the end of the day. But the disadvantages are, you know, you have to really put yourself out there to promote your work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to become a master advertiser when that might not be your strength, and make appearances and really, you know, promote yourself. And it's not as easy as cheering on your friend or another writer or, you know, another celebrity whose work you really enjoy. It's very difficult to put yourself out there like that.
So. Yes, I sympathize. That is hard to do it for oneself. And now you set up Morning Rain Publishing. Tell us about the company and what you publish.
It's a very small imprint. We're relatively new. We're 3 years young.
Mm.
Run by three women, Joanne Clendenning-Cassinage and Jacqueline Brown and myself. We publish only Canadian authors with strong Canadian content. That doesn't mean we don't publish science fiction and fantasy, because we do, but we do insist that there be some Canadian content in the book.
Mm-hmm.
We try to publish 3 to 4 titles a year, because otherwise we're stretching ourselves too thin, and that's really it. Like, that's, mm-hmm. It's our passion. We love what we do.
So. Yes, yes. So are your books that you publish nearly all science fiction and fantasy, or do you go in for other things, or what?
Strangely enough, almost all of our books have a speculative fiction element. It wasn't intentional. It just sort of happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
So our earlier books were, there was some urban fantasy where you have a fantasy element in a regular modern day setting. So
mm-hmm.
There was that. There was some time travel in one. So, you know, we didn't intend it to be that way, but it turned out that way. More recently, we have published a couple of short story collections where there isn't as much speculative fiction in it. And we are actually trying to not necessarily move away from that, but to diversify our titles so that we're not just having that core of mm-hmm. science fiction and fantasy titles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's sort of difficult to spread yourselves when you publish only a few books each year, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. What we started to do this year was open submissions for very specific types of books,
mm-hmm.
whereas previously we had been open for submissions year-round,
mm.
and we didn't necessarily accept everything. We accepted everything to review. We reviewed
yeah.
and replied. So what we've done now is we've given windows of time for very specific types of work, and that way we can have a better opportunity to choose something that we can work with and
yeah.
not be choosing just based on our personal preferences.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's hard to, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but instead of getting, you know, 100 submissions and taking from that the 3 that we just enjoyed the most
yes.
and were the best written, which happened to be speculative fiction, what we're doing is we're directing the submissions to incorporate literary fiction or young adult fiction or women's fiction. And so we get a better variety in a certain amount of time, so we can choose during that time what we'd like to publish.
Right.
I think that's a better answer.
Right. So please read some more of your work for us.
Okay, I'm going to read from Liminal Lights. I'm going to start at the beginning because I think everyone should start at the beginning.
Good idea.
It's a middle grade book about fairy-like creatures that are not actually fairies who harvest human magic, but people don't actually know that they have magic. I'll just read from the very beginning.
So is this the first book?
This is the first book in the three-part series.
Yeah.
I see her clearly in the warm glow of the bedside lamp. Despite the nighttime darkness, her hair glimmers with golden ribbons of sunshine as she focuses intently on her task. She wields her wand with practiced grace, the pencil held confidently in her delicate grasp. A series of whimsical shapes dance across the page. They pulse with the pureness of her energy. Her pale blue eyes sparkle in concentration while she purses her pink lips into a rosebud pout. Despite the strength of the magic growing within her, she is fragile, unaware of her power. Pressing my nose against the cold glass of the window, I watch her coax the images to life, creating magic from nothing more than her imagination. She shifts on the bed, allowing the light to briefly illuminate her unfinished drawing. Its vibrant essence is exposed for a fleeting moment before her calm demeanor changes and she viciously attacks the page with the wrong end of her pencil. I place the palm of my hand on the window, allowing desperation to wash over me. I will her to stop the destruction, but I am too small for her to notice. The sketch is obliterated. Only the scattered shavings of a brief moment in time remain in its place. Her magic fades, and once again, I am left with nothing. Silly mortal, doesn't she know that every time she scrubs the page clean, another opportunity is lost? A flickering light distracts me from the task of watching over my charge. Carefully, I skip across the ledge and peer around the corner in an attempt to discover what took away my attention. Of course. It's only Prit, up to his usual mischief. I wonder what dreams he plans to bestow on the boy who lives two windows over, and breathe a sigh of relief when he whizzes past in a blur of blue-green light, bypassing my window altogether. I return my gaze to the bedroom to find the girl has disappeared from view. I check the moon star, note the time, and realize she must be preparing for sleep. Finally, I might be able to get some work done. Watching and waiting are tedious but necessary work, especially now that time is critical. Any minute now, the world could tilt, shifting the shadows and leaving my kind to drown in the dark. The girl reappears dressed in loose-fitting pants and a fitted t-shirt over which she is wearing a long yellow jacket, loosely belted at the waist. I will never understand the numerous clothing changes humans undergo in the course of 24 hours. Time is so finite for them. Why waste it on these trivial matters? She removes the jacket, lays it across a chair, and sits on her bed, staring at the wall opposite her. This is something new. She is naturally calm, so her stillness is not alarming. It's her intent stare at something I can't see that disturbs me. If only I could find a way to be closer to her. But I'm not daring enough to break our laws and breach the barrier between humans and liminals. We are meant to live on the edge of their reality, not be a part of it. I can only watch and wait until the magic within her fully awakens. I hold my breath, hoping this might be the moment. She blinks, comes out of her trance, and gives her head a quick shake. I release my breath and wonder if that moment was what humans refer to as a daydream. I watch her peel back the layers of blankets on the bed and slip between the sheets. She reaches out to her bedside table, making sure her notebook and pencil are close at hand before switching off the light. The room is plunged into darkness, but I can still see every detail clearly. She sighs, and eventually her breathing becomes soft and even. I sprinkle a smattering of dust along the window, sealing out the evil and preserving her innocence until morning. Anything? The voice makes me jump. I know better than to assume I am alone in the city. Others like me are watching their own charges, waiting for changes, hoping for transformations. Prit is hovering in front of me, outside of my reach. His wings move so fast they are a luminescent blur in the darkness. I shake my head in response, hoping he'll leave things be and move on to his next unsuspecting victim. Are you sure, Bean? Something in the air is different tonight. Again, I shake my head in response. Why won't he flutter off and mind his own business? He interferes inappropriately, complicating matters, which often result in a tangled mess the rest of us are left to manage. He balances precariously between mischief and malice on his own personal tightrope. I'm not sure how he keeps his footing. It must be his wings that keep him in check. For a moment, he looks intently at my charge, who has settled into a dreamless sleep. I know this, because tonight I chose not to give her any. He glances back at me, disgust clearly etched on his very fine features. You're not trying very hard. His comment doesn't faze me. How I proceed with my charge is completely up to me. She will grow and change as her world grows and changes. Some believe forcibly pulling immature magic forward is more beneficial than a simple nudge in the right direction. I have seen that method fail, with horrendous results. Patience is a key for a successful transition.
Thank you, Jennifer. So, how would you describe in one sentence your liminals?
Oh.
What are they?
My kids tell me that they're basically soul-sucking vampires.
So
but they aren't.
But they aren't. But do they have to have some physical contact with the humans?
They don't. They have a synergy between them and humans, and their relationship is not as complicated as it sounds. Liminals don't have magic of their own, so they harvest magic from humans. That magic is usually your talent, your passion, so art, music, writing, mathematics. I mean, you know, there are people out there who are pure geniuses, and that's their talent, that's their magic. So they harvest what people don't need, give back to people what they do need. It's a symbiotic relationship, that's what it is.
Well, of course, if I ask you how they harvest it, I guess you'll be telling me the whole story, so I won't.
But nope, I won't tell you how they harvest it, but if you read the book, it's in the book.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Jennifer Bogart, Coburg publisher, editor, and novelist. Where can listeners buy your books, Jennifer, and find out more about Morning Rain Publishing?
The best place for information is our website. It's www.morningrainpublishing.com. Mm-hmm. And our books are available on Amazon, of course, through Chapters Online. And you can go into a local independent bookstore and ask them to order them in as well.
Great. Thank you. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us and make comments, ask questions, or make suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. If you've missed a program or would like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at the website too. You can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sundays at 1 p.m., repeated on Thursdays at 1 a.m., on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.